What a blessing to live in America. Would I get an amen for that? As this Memorial Day, we definitely want to take time to say thank you to all the military men and women from the beginning of this country all the way up to the guys and gals that are serving today. So we definitely want to pay respects for the ones who have fallen, like Mr. Jesse said, to preserve our freedom. And our right to be able to come into this building and worship the Lord. So we definitely want to take time to say thank you for that. I want to thank Mackenzie for coming up and reading. That was good. Did a good job with that, didn't she? Really good job. And thank Jess, too, for writing it. So, he has a real ministry. A ministry and a gift of writing and expressing himself. And so I really appreciate that. That's a God-given gift That's a ministry for him. So I appreciate him. And I want to give a little promotion tonight for Wednesday night. If you guys are interested, we're studying through the book of Genesis tonight. Wednesday night. And we're going to maybe go to the first 11 chapters, I believe, of Genesis. So if you want to join us on Wednesday night, that'll be awesome. Starting tonight, we've got something really exciting also, is Paul's going to start a four-week series. It's going to be 4 weeks, basically, right? 4 or 5 weeks on how to disciple believers. And we're going to do it. And so I want to encourage everyone, if you can, to come on back tonight. I know it's Memorial Day. Maybe we shouldn't have kicked it off tonight. It's basically going how to disciple believers, how to be a discipler. And I really want to start preparing for what I believe God's going to do here at Pauline, is start bringing us folks to get saved and baptized. And we need to be equipped and ready to begin to disciple them, you know. And eventually we're going to take this and turn it into a newcomers class, you know, on a Sunday morning during Sunday school. And so maybe teach that once a quarter or wherever, when needed. So when we get folks to join the church and get saved, we can refer them right to the new beginners class. Amen? And we can start the discipleship process of them growing and maturing in Christ. So real excited about that. Also, don't forget the softball. If you feel the Lord's put it on your heart to play softball, I was joking with Adam, we might call it the Pauline Polecats. He didn't like that one. So, I was just joking around with Adam trying to get him. Praise the Lord. Amen. Happy Memorial Day. So let's go ahead and pray and ask God to help us out during this time. Father, I thank you, Lord, always as an opportunity to come up here and talk about Jesus. Talk about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, Lord. And I thank you, Lord. I ask you to bless this time. Give me the right things to say at the right time. Holy Spirit, I trust you and that you'll guide and direct this service, Lord. As always, you don't need our permission to do that, Lord. We just trust that you will guide us and direct us. And everything we do, that we lift up the name of Jesus, give God glory and honor and praise. He is worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so for most of you guys, you know that I've been going through the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. So we're going to be back into the Beatitudes again in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. 1 through 12. Matthew 5, 1 through 12. All right, let's read. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. All right, so I've been out for a couple of weeks. We had Mother's Day, and I had an opportunity to preach at Friendship Baptist in Barney. So I'm back today, so I really want to do an overview. So if you can, give me about 6.5, 7, 8 minutes, and we do a little overview to catch us back up. Is that all right? All right, so let's do this. Remember blessed. That word blessed means happy. It means a vibrant heart. It means full of energy and enthusiasm. So God's telling us here that blessed, okay, in verse 3 it says, blessed are the poor in spirit. So let's revisit that a little bit. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It says to be poor in spirit means that we are aware of our great need. We're aware of our poverty-stricken condition and that we desperately, desperately need a Savior. Okay? Now, the way that we become poor in spirit is that we learn and accept what God wants to do to us and through us. Okay? As we remember in the sermon that we went over, it says, to us means God wants to save us. He wants to love us, to teach us, to spend time with us, to adopt us into his family and give us eternal life. Okay, Luke 19:10 says the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. 1 John 5:13 says, I love this verse, says, I have written these things to you who believe in the Son of God so that you may know. Everybody say no. So that you may know that you have eternal life. So that's one scripture right there that just, we don't have to worry about our salvation anymore. I love Paul emphasizes on Sunday night about our eternal security. Our eternal security. Here is, you know, Jesus saying, I have written these things for us Christians so that we can know that we have eternal life. So, God wants to do through us. Again, I'm doing a review. He wants us to be ministers of reconciliation. He wants us to share the gospel. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning, about sharing our story. He wants us, all of us, to do works of ministry. Okay, when we begin to spiritually mature, because this is really what the Beatitudes is about. Y'all know that, right? The whole Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, is about us spiritually maturing as followers of Christ. So when we begin to spiritually mature, our vision begins to increase with respect to what God wants us to do for Him on this earth. And that vision gets real big. And so what happens is we begin to say, man, I can't do this without God. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to do this. I can't do this. The only way I'm going to be able to do this is if God's involved. Poor in spirit means I desperately need God. I desperately need the Holy Spirit to guide me. I can't do this on my own. I need Him. That's a good place to be, right? Now, verse 4 says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Again, I'm reviewing these verses, catching us up. This is about godly sorrow. We learn here that godly sorrow leads to a clean and happy heart. Worldly sorrow leads to death, which is depression and self-destruction and ultimately suicide. That's worldly sorrow. God intended for us to be sad at times. This godly sorrow produces the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit in us. It stirs up feelings of sadness about maybe our personal sin, which will lead to repentance, which will develop us into humble, obedient servants. And it will give us gifts to be able to experience and relate to others that may be going through something, right? So this helps us help others. This godly sorrow that Jesus is talking about helps us with the grieving process. So when we see someone else grieving, we see someone else hurting, we can help. We can offer advice, or we can just be a listening ear with compassion. Because maybe we've been through that too. The next verse in this Beatitudes I'm reviewing is, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." Remember, meekness means a mild disposition, a gentle spirit, a humble obedience. Meekness is a supernatural power to absorb adversity and criticism without lashing back. We have to walk in this meekness. It's a sign of spiritual maturity. Meekness is understanding and accepting that God owns everything. And He is in charge of everything. And that He can decide to do whatever He wants with everything. And understand this, in that message, meekness is not weakness. Allow me to read this. A mature Christian walking in meekness can rest in this spiritual truth and walk with a quiet, strong confidence, not in self, but understanding that it's all about God. It's all about what He wants to accomplish through us in ministering to the world and spreading the gospel. It's all about Him. Now, let's move into the verse for the day. Can I say amen? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Now, let's look at this word hunger. It's no big revelation. When you look it up in the Greek, it basically means to crave as if we're starved. The next is thirst. Now, I've been hungry. Has anybody ever been hungry? Most of us have never really been hungry, you know what I mean? Living in America. And so, you know, if you grew up real rough and tough, maybe you do understand what hunger really means. I remember going hungry one time in the military and survival training and that kind of thing. Not trying to be cool, but we did that. And I got hungry. Anybody know the difference in hungry and hungry? You know? Yes, sir, you're right. Amen, brother. Yes, amen, exactly. And thirsty, you know. Most of us have been thirsty at times. And you're working outside, you just get really thirsty. In the Greek, that word thirst means longing to be refreshed. Just longing to be refreshed. And then the word righteousness, we've studied that 100 times, and we're going to study 1,000 more maybe if the Lord tarries. But that word righteousness means in right standing with God. In other words, we're acceptable to God. I use a little corny thing with a thumbs up. You know, we're good to go with God. That's what that righteousness means. If you're born again Christian, right? You've placed your faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. You've been made righteous. We'll talk about that more in a little bit. That word filled, it says you will be filled. It means, listen to this, I love this. It means to be satisfied with no more desire. To be satisfied. You see, guys, in this beatitude, Jesus is teaching us to rest in His righteousness. Just rest. Be still, God said, and know that I am God. There is no other way that I'm aware of to feel completely satisfied. Y'all hear me? No other way to feel completely satisfied than resting in His righteousness. The blood that flowed down that old rugged cross that covered our sins. You see, the world and its stuff competes for our attention and our affection every single day. And it will always leave us desiring more. St. Augustine said this. He said, "Thou made us for thyself, and our heart is restless until it rest in thee." I love that. You see, guys, the world and its desires causes us to live on this earth unsatisfied, craving more and more things. It does. Now, time out a little bit here. I have nothing against general material things, right? I have things, and I like the house that God's blessed us with, and I like a dependable car, and I like the clothes that God has blessed us with. But we all have to be very careful not to become ungrateful and to take our eyes off of Jesus and start craving more from the world. More things. It will always leave us thirsty and hungry. Sometimes we catch ourselves, we say things like, "The grass is always greener on the other side." "Well, I need a bigger truck. I need a newer car." 10 shoes is not enough. Don't be meddling there. "I have 150 TV channels, but I can't find a thing to watch." "You know, I have two good, dependable vehicles, and I need a golf cart." Nothing wrong with a golf cart. I'm just saying, right? It's never ending if we're not careful. You know, 50K, 100K a year is good, but man, 100K or 250K a year would be even better. And it might be, though, you know. But we have to be careful not to get sucked in, right, of keeping up with the Joneses. If you got a small bass boat, let's be grateful for it. That one's... I always like to pick on David, but he's not here today. I'll let that go, right? Here's something that we learned as kids. And as adults, I think a lot of us have forgot about this. New toys are always boring in just a few weeks. Isn't that right? As the old prophet said, we drink at broken cisterns. And we eat bread which does not satisfy. A cistern, right, is that little thing which keeps water in it. The hunger and thirst for the world can never be quenched, and that fire burns in all of us. Isn't that right? I'm no different than you. You're no different than me. Mm-mm. It all burns in all of us, so we have to be careful. The words of C.S. Lewis ring so true. Let me quote this. He said, "If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world." It's interesting, isn't it? Jesus said, "Blessed, happy, enthusiastic, running with a mission. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." See, guys, the key to this verse is understanding that Jesus was teaching us about grace, about living in His mercy and His grace, and living completely in His righteousness. Jesus, if you study, was the ultimate grace teacher. You see, we can't be righteous. We are righteous. Righteousness cannot be achieved in our own strength. God has imputed to us His righteousness by His grace through our faith in Jesus Christ. There are two basic types of righteousness. One, it's of the law, which at its best leads to self-righteousness, which results in judging others. And then there's righteousness given to us by grace through our faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we didn't earn it, we didn't deserve it, we didn't do anything for it. It was a gift that God imputed into us as followers of Christ. And now, you're good to go with God. That's the only way anybody can get to heaven. It's the shed blood of Jesus on Calvary. He has made us white and clean as snow. Psalms 42, 1 and 2. Psalms 42, 1 and 2. It says, as a deer panteth for the water brook, so my soul panteth for thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. John 4, 13 and 14. Jesus answered her, the lady, you know, at the well, said to her, everyone who drinks of this water shall thirst again. But everyone who drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst again. But the water that I shall give him shall become in him, or her, right? And a well of water springing up into eternal life. Hallelujah. John 6:35 says, then Jesus declared to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Living and resting in the righteousness of God brings us peace and joy. And we can rest in the gospel. That's why it's good news. It's good news. Jesus is teaching us in this beatitude that it is very, very, very important for His children to focus with everything that we have on God's grace and resting in His righteousness and what He's already done on Calvary and on the cross. The Bible says that those outside of God, where? Outside of God are like a troubled sea. They are restless. And they're searching. And they're questing and they're trying to find a place where it may be calm and smooth. And they cannot find rest. Life is rough, isn't it? Life is hard at times. Life is tough occasionally. But especially without God's peace. Especially without God's joy. And especially hard when we don't understand about living the living water of Christ and what He can give us. Maybe you are running madly from place to place, searching for something that may bring satisfaction to this terrible spiritual thirst that only God can satisfy. Jesus said, He is the living water. He is the living water who will come into your heart and quench the thirst forever. My friends, why don't you come to the well of Jesus? Come to the well of Jesus that offers the drink from the living water. That's what you're really thirsty for. Bring your marriage to the well. Bring your body to the well for healing. Bring your marriage to the well for mending. Come to the altar. Bring your finances to the well. Bring it all to the well this morning. Jesus said he would touch you and fill you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord. I pray for anyone today, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Father, if they do not know you, that they will come to the altar this morning and they will give their life to Christ. Father, there's a couple here today that's struggling in their marriage, Lord, and they'll come down and drink from the living well. You can touch them more than any marriage counselor, more than anything. You can touch their soul, and you can mend that. Or if one here that needs healing in their body, Lord, or struggling with anything in their life, Father, they'll come down to the altar this morning and bring it to the well. Lord, we love you. We thank you. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.